It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the show. I'm your host, Scotty Myers, and my wife is back.
What's up, everybody?
Choking on my tongue.
It's going to sound like you were drowning. It's been a while since you've been here with us. Well, people have missed you. They have. The peoples. They have missed you. So we'll have geek news and that later on, but we'll start. You've been watching a lot of TV, obviously, as most people have been stuck inside, and I've noticed a trend with these online casino, websites or whatever, that they get celebrities. Like there was that one with John Goodman.
Yeah, where he was like a fingertip. Like, John Goodman, what happened?
Like, that one hurt me inside.
It was a little weird. I don't think he knew what he was signing up for.
No, I feel like somebody had pictures of him doing something and they were like, pictures are released or you're a thumb in an online casino. It was like, okay. And then we saw one with David Hasselhoff and I was like, oh, that makes me feel sad for the Hoff.
Yeah.
You know, Knight Rider, Baywatch.
He looks great in the commercials, though. He's like a hunk.
Well, he's the Hoff, right? Yeah. He's got that German music career, I think, is still doing well.
I think so.
But if you're doing that, like, my guess is things are not good.
Well, yeah. I mean, when I saw him on one of those commercials, I did think, like, how is he doing? And more of that caring, compassionate way, like, can Wikipedia tell me if David Hasselhoff is okay? And he's not in the best financial situation because of ex-wives and money owed from divorce. But I think, you know, a casino commercial comes around and offers, I don't know, how much would he, like $50,000?
Oh, I bet he's getting more than that. He's singing in that thing too.
Singing so a little bit. He's spinning and singing.
He's spinning and singing and he's waving and he's got that Hoff smile.
Yeah.
And he even Hofftastic, yes, at one point, right? Like he gets all like.
Registered trademark.
100%. So he's getting more than 50G for that, I think. I think he's. You can't get Hasselhoff for under $100,000.
Well, I hope he made $100,000 because he deserves it. And he can buy his new young wife a Gucci bag or something.
He has a young wife?
So the other thing that I read online is that, yeah, his wife is younger. I don't know. Early 30s. And I always wonder, like, I have no problem with people dating people of different ages. You know, who cares?
Right.
Get yours. Get it wet. Get it sloppy. Get it however you can. I don't care. Age is just a number. But at the same time, ew.
After you butter him up with all that of like, he still looked good. He was a hunk. Ew.
The ew part goes back to years ago. Not like that long ago, but like 2015 or whatever, when Billy Joel married his fourth wife, because I guess that was the first time I realized like older men are dating and marrying young women, because Billy Joel's wife is my age. And at the time, so when they got together, it was like 2009, they got married in like 2015 or something. I guess I just thought a little ew, like, and more just, I put myself in her shoes and what would I do if Billy Joel asked me out? I don't know what I would do.
I can tell you 100% what you would do. You would be like, because first off, he probably doesn't ask because he's Billy fucking Joel.
Right.
Right. So he probably, like, I don't know how he met this current wife, but let's just say you're at a bar.
Okay.
Okay. And Billy Joel's at the bar, which based on his life, he probably shouldn't be. But.
But also, wouldn't he be surrounded by an entourage of people? He would never just go to a bar alone.
No,
you know, have a drink.
He's got people with him, but he's sitting at his table. Okay, he's sitting there with all the people around him, all his sycophants,
okay,
sitting around him talking about how great he is, and he's just yeah, piano man, I know, yeah. And then he looks across the bar and he sees you.
All
much like I did,
chin hair, well, you and know, double like, chin.
Sees you and he goes, oh my,
her gut is protruding from her blue jeans in a way I've never witnessed before in public.
So that's his fetish.
Sure. So you're saying I'm
No, I'm not. I am playing along with your scenario. So he sees you across the room. And again, like I say, he's Billy Joel. So I don't think in any of these situations, Billy Joel is getting up and crossing the bar and going up to you mm-hmm. and going, hey, I'm Billy Joel, you know, that type of thing. I'm the piano man. Would you like to stroke my keys? I don't think he's doing that. So he's probably sending his manager or something.
Right.
Right. And then so I'm Billy Joel's manager and I come up to you and I'm like, hi, you know, my name is Scott. I'm Billy Joel's manager. Yes. Yes. The Billy Joel. Yes. Listen, Billy's over there.
Are you asking me out?
No, no. Billy's over there, and he was sent me over. He's in the middle of something, so he couldn't come, but he really would like to talk to you. Is it possible that you would give me your number, then I could take that back to Billy, and he'll give you a call?
Isn't that just a little creepy? It's creepy if it's not Billy Joel. If it's just like a random stranger, like, oh, my friend really wants to dance to you, which has happened to me before, and it was really weird, and I said no, because I thought it was a joke. I thought they were trying to prank me, and you know, and if I was like, yeah, he's really cute, he'd go, no, he was just joking, you're ugly. You know, like, you don't want to put yourself in that situation.
But, okay, I think if that situation was playing out in reality, you would see Billy Joel.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be like, yeah, here's my number. And then you would leave the bar and quickly get on Spotify and start playing Billy Joel's greatest hits and be driving home, not thinking necessarily about the fact that he's an older man, that maybe he's not as attractive as he once was. You're just thinking,
he was attractive.
Christy Brinkley saw something. Come on. And you're just thinking, like, every time you hear, like, I don't want to do too much to get sued, but every time you hear a note, you're hearing ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
I don't know. I guess I would go for it, and I would just assume that, let's say, his current wife, her name's Alexis, just such an annoying
name. Which is weird, because I think he has a daughter, Alexa.
Something like that, yeah.
Which is kind of odd. I mean, not like you pick. I think the daughter was born before, so I think
yes,
that's just an odd coincidence.
Before, yes.
But still, it's kind of weird.
It's a little weird.
It's a little weird.
But I guess, I don't know. I guess I would just think I'll go for it, and maybe I'll get a nice dinner out of it. I don't know what the fuck we're going to talk about, because we're 30, 35 years apart. What do we have in common? You know, I looked her up. She used to work at like a hedge fund company, and she was into horses.
Okay, so maybe Billy's into horses. So
but
there you
how
go.
Do you even begin a conversation? Is it really just you and him? Do you have to go to his house because he's Billy Joel? He can't just like go to, you know, the keg. Like, you would be surrounded by fans.
Well, I think in New York, I think there's definitely restaurants that he could go to.
He probably owns them.
Right.
But I guess my point is, it wouldn't be a normal date. You'd already be nervous. You'd already be uncool and panicking. And then, you know, I also looked it up. She's taller than him. So that's another weird thing. Of like, cool, that he's not, you know,
he's not a big man.
He's a big enough man emotionally and mentally that he's like, I'm cool dating a taller woman. That's great. But what if he goes in for a kiss and you're like, and then you just like have a one-off one-night stand with Billy Joel and then tell all your friends. And then lo and behold, he's calling you the next day. I can't stop thinking about you. And let's go to Turks and Caicos or something. I mean, you know, I guess I'd be in the shower shaving my legs and my whole body head to toe. Because yeah. I'd be going like, I'm going to Turks and Caicos with Billy Joel.
Yeah.
And then eventually, 6 months later, you're engaged to Billy Joel.
Well, I'll tell you. Here, and
you're younger than his daughter.
And I think this is Billy's secret. Because you're right. Not the best looking guy on the planet. But he gets behind that piano. Because I remember him telling the story of like being on an island with like Elle McPherson. And I don't think anything happened with him and Elle or anything, but like there were other models. And I think what happens is Billy takes you somewhere and he gets behind the piano and he starts to play and your panties just slide off.
Well, I
they
think
they just like to the floor.
Any musician, there is something attractive about, I guess, as a woman and being attracted to men, that I could see that a man playing an instrument, you can't help but think, if he can do that with his hands, what else can he do with them? Right. Or if he can blow a flute like that, I wonder what else he can do, you know, without a reed in the way or something. Like, you know.
I can only do this if I put a reed on you as well. It's the only way I feel comfortable.
And don't forget to release the spit valve.
I now picture this conversation of you coming to me going, I met Billy Joel and I'm leaving you. And then me just going, but you don't even like Billy Joel.
But that's the other thing. I mean, I just don't understand. Like, and having worked in radio and being surrounded by musicians, mostly bad or up and coming, like not really Billy Joel level or really famous, I have met some famous people. And I just wonder, like, what would I have done in that situation if a manager, you know, you do a meet and greet and a manager comes up after everyone leaves and goes, oh, hey, Natalie, you know, Alice Cooper really liked you. I mean, I did have a private meet and greet with me, Alice Cooper, and his, I don't know what the hell that guy was. He took pictures. And I think about that moment of like, what if Alice, I know he's married and stuff, but like, what if Alice Cooper was like, hey, do you want to continue keeping the Fournier name in bloodline?
Yeah, because you guys have the same last name.
But he spells it differently. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I guess I would just be so shocked and nervous that I think my reaction would be like, no! No, I don't! But thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, again, because of radio, I've been backstage. I've been on tour buses and stuff like that. And I think my thought process was always like, maybe I can catch some shrapnel. Like, maybe some of the girls that the guys in the band
ew.
Are like, no! They'll be sitting there going, yeah, it's a radio guy. All right, sure.
And I don't know if nowadays if there's really, let's say it's women following men musicians. I don't know if it's like the 80s and 90s anymore. I guess I'll use like my bus situation story was being on the Theory of a Dead Man bus. And I know that's not like saying Guns N' Roses or anything.
I don't know. I would say Theory's had hits.
Sure. Like
they're a successful band.
And there was nobody around the bus. The bus was parked right in front of the venue. It's not like they were off hand or, you know, they were accessible. And people were just kind of lining up. And maybe that's a Canadian thing where we just mind our own business and we don't want to bother the celebrities, but there was no girls on the bus go round and round. There was nothing like that. It was me and my girlfriends like peeing our pants because we were meeting a guy with huge sideburns that makes more money than us.
Well, I do think you're right. I think, listen, I still think that groupie mentality.
Yeah.
I think that still exists out there. I definitely think.
Maybe it just lives online now.
I think everything is like almost prearranged now. I think that's the one thing
right.
maybe that internet has done is they don't line up outside of the bus now. Now it's all pre-set up. Like, you know, these girls or guys or whatever, they figure out how to slide into the DM, set things up, and then, you know, so a band rolls into a town and they already have it lined up.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
So it's not like a, you know, I don't think anything is like one of my, sounds bad to say favorite, but it's a debaucherous story of Van Halen when they were on tour during Eddie's guitar solo or Alex's drum solo. They would be banging girls under the stage. Like, they would have their security guards picking girls out
ew.
Of the crowd, bringing them backstage and putting them under the stage where they had a room built. It was part of their stage setup that they would go and have sex while the drum solo was going on or the guitar solo was going on. If somebody ever wondered why those solos were so fucking long, that's why, is because those guys
poor guy on the stage is like, man, I really want to get my dick wet right now.
Well, that's why they did multiple solos, right? Like drum solo, guitar. But yeah, I mean, I don't, like you were saying, like, you know, how they met Billy Joel and that, I don't know. I know there was a story, again, going back to like the 80s rock stars when it was just hedonism 24/7. I know at one point Nikki Sixx said he used like Playboy and Penthouse magazine as dating. Those were his like dating apps, basically. He would like look at the centerfold and be like, and then he would call his manager and be like, hey, Miss May is pretty hot. Why don't you call Playboy? And I want to get her number and take her out. And that's how they ended up dating and having sex with all the Playmates and stuff like that, is because they just pick them.
Sure.
You know, so.
And I'm sure it's in a way like that now. I mean, back to Billy Joel, your story about the solos and swapping, I brought something to my brain that my friend Heather actually was chosen by Billy Joel's people at a concert to go from the nosebleeds or bad seats to the front.
Oh, yeah, because he does that. Yeah. He saves seats up front for real fans.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, yeah, that was a highlight for her at the concert. But unfortunately, there was no swapping of bodily fluids.
Yeah, I don't think Billy Joel's dropping loads on the people that he's pulling out of the cheap seats. I don't think that's...
I guess, yeah. Again, in that situation, I would take it humbly. Oh, my gosh. Yes, of course, I'd love to have a almost personal... you've been personally chosen almost by someone who's right behind Billy Joel in the food chain to be in front of him. That'd be great. What a great honor. But it would still be that I think, honestly, and this is going to sound so juvenile, but I think I would just be sitting there going, he's going to fuck me. He has chosen me to fuck. We are going to fuck. It's happening. He's looking at me. It's me. We're doing this. And then you'd be next to me going, why does she keep saying, mouthing the words, he's going to fuck me?
Yeah, I'd be like, what's happening? Like,
those aren't the words to Piano Man.
He comes up to you and he's like, hi, I'm Billy Joel. What's your name? Natalie? Oh, Natalie, well, you did start the fire in my pants.
Bye, Scott.
See? And you don't even like Billy Joel. Back to my point. You don't even like Billy Joel. But yeah, I mean, well, I had that with, there was a bassist. This goes back many, many years, but Canadian rocker Biff Naked, she had a bassist in her band. I don't remember the bassist name, but at one point I was right up front and the bassist had put her leg up on the stage and she grabbed my hand and put it on her leg.
Ew.
And I kind of took my hand off and she grabbed it again and put it back. And there was a moment in my head where I was like, I'm going to fuck the bassist tonight.
But you kindly, you know, that speaks about your character as a man. Like, I don't want to touch a woman, you know. I wasn't invited, I guess, right, to touch her. And especially nowadays, you can't, I can't do that.
I have lived life with a motto that women do not want to be bothered by me. So,
still to this day, it is true.
It is true. It is the rules I live by. But yeah, I had that moment in my head. I was like, I'm going to fuck the bassist tonight. Yeah, it didn't happen.
Nobody wants to fuck the bassist.
No, that was the thing. I was like, I'm going to fuck the bassist. Fuck that. I'm going home.
How old was he?
Terrible. Terrible. One last thing I wanted to talk about before I let you go, and I get into the geek news, which there's a little bit, some cool stuff. Have you ever wanted to go on like a treasure hunt? Arr, matey. Like, we live near Oak Island.
Yeah, I guess no. That doesn't really interest me.
Because, well, you liked Maine. We went to Maine, right?
Like, yeah,
you
it was nice. Bangor. I liked Bangor only because it was fall and we were going to Stephen King's house and his radio stations. And it was a beautiful, I just remember, like, the definition of crisp fall day.
It was.
And all the leaves were traveling across the road as we drove in my little Mitsubishi around Bangor. And I was like, I could live here. This is cool.
I've always had a soft spot for Bangor. Like, it's not the biggest city in the world or anything like that, but I've always had a soft spot. I have a lot of great childhood memories of Bangor, but you talk about like those leaves swirling, like as we're pulling up to Stephen King's house, there's leaves swirling and stuff. It was very cool. So I bring it up because I don't know how to pronounce this. Dirigio?
Dirigo,
sure. This place, Dirigo Treasures LLC, has started a treasure hunt in Maine where there is $20,000 hidden. And they're calling it Maine's Dirigo Treasure. And basically, you're going to go to Maine. They're going to give you cards. You have to figure stuff out with a deck of cards. There's a riddle, which they haven't released, a puzzle. And basically, if you are the first one to find it, you're going to find this $20,000 and it's yours.
Okay.
So kind of a neat idea. They're doing it to celebrate Maine's 200th anniversary of being a state or something like that. But it's kind of, like, I kind of think of it's a neat idea, but I just don't know about the timing, right? Like, because travel's still a bit of an issue.
Right. I wonder if they're going to have how do you get chosen to pick a card? I mean, there's only 52 cards in a deck.
Yeah, well, they give you 52 iconic images and locations in the main cards, and they say they want players to explore the unique scenery of Maine.
Okay.
And all that kind of stuff.
So if you get a lighthouse,
yeah.
Do you go to that lighthouse and then the clue is there?
That's what I'm thinking.
But is the clue just like hanging on the door? I mean, you and I could just go to every freaking lighthouse in Maine and go, here's a clue.
Because I would cut down the clue. So that everybody behind me was
fucking. You want to sabotage everyone.
Damn right. The game is available in two formats. Both include the deck of cards, a postcard, a travel envelope. One's $19.99. So they're going to make money on this, basically.
Okay.
And then the other one has a bigger card size deck that's $39.99. They have a little charity angle. They're doing some money for cancer, but only $1. Off the so they're gonna make money off this deal. But it's kind of a cool idea in a weird way,
yeah.
But I just don't know about the timing. And then I also noticed somewhere it said $20,000 cash or cash equivalent, which makes me wonder,
Bitcoin or something,
well, like that, or is it like $20,000 in like TGI Fridays gift cards?
Like, I'll take it,
you know, all the jalapeno poppers you can eat for the rest of your life, like. It seems like a weird wording.
Oh, well, maybe. Maybe you want, like, gas cards or something. But
yeah.
The charity angle with those kind of things always weirds me out because I'm a terrible person. And
we know. You were about to leave me for Billy Joel.
I just see those, you know, 50-50 raffles and I feel the pressure. I feel sometimes when I want to buy a 50-50 raffle ticket, the pressure turns me off because I feel that when you win one of those raffles, there's the expectation that you're going to donate your winnings
so that the charity
back to the charity. And I don't want to do that.
No, I don't. Well, here's the thing. The ones that they're doing now online where you buy tickets and they kind of announce your name and that's it.
Right.
That's not as bad. But back in the day, and these will come back when we get back to kind of gathering full steam ahead again. Because I hosted some of these were when they did them at bars, at charity events, and you would pull the 50-50,
yes.
And the whole bar would start chanting, give it back, give it back. And I'd be like, go fuck yourself, go
but
fuck yourself.
But here's the thing, when you're that person, I've seen this happen before, that person will be like, okay, I'm giving it back. And then they do another draw, you know, they'll redraw for the cash or whatever. And then that person's like, oh, donate it back too. And then you think, if I'm the third person, I'm going to have to go up on that stage in front of everyone and go, I'm taking it. So I'm going to go move now and hide in shame.
I won one once at an event I was hosting. I was like the MC of the event. I bought 50-50 tickets. They pulled my name. And I it's bad. It wasn't a huge sum of money, a couple $100. Like it was a small golf tournament thing. There wasn't many people involved. And they went, oh, Scott, you won. Go get your prize. I was like, oh, I'll go get it in a minute. I got things I'm working here. Whatever. And then people come up.
No one wants the MC to win anything.
No. And they'd be like, you're just going to give it back. Right? Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm just going to give it back. And then at the end of the night, grabbed my money and I left.
What a shame. Shame on you. But that's the thing. If it's like $50, couple $100, I probably would be like, okay, here you go. I'm donating it back because you think you didn't have the money anyway.
Right.
And it does make you look like a shining star. But if it's like, you know, some 50-50s locally around here, like there's one for a, what would you call it? Like a...
Like you're talking the radio?
A community radio station.
Yeah. I just want to make sure you're talking the same one.
And their 50-50 goes into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't know how. I still think it's rigged.
So do I.
And you think, and then someone's like, oh, you're taking half of this and it's $90,000. Like, no, I'm taking that. That's a whole different ball game of like, that could change my life.
Well, and not only that, but like, no offense to the community radio station. But that's not like a charity. Like they're not saving lives, right? Like you take $90,000 from a food bank. That's,
I think I'm still taking 90
grand. Well, no, between you and me. But at least I could sit there in my head and make the argument of like, okay, this 90,000 is going to go to buying more food or whatever.
Right.
From something like the hockey, they do a lot of hockey raffles around here, 50-50. And it's like, yeah. Usually it's for teams' traveling expenses.
Yeah, my nephew does one, and the prize is usually $20,000-$25,000. Yeah. I'm not giving that back to some rinky-dink hockey team.
Well, and not only that, this year they're not traveling. They're not doing, so they're raising this money to do the same things they did in normal years when they're not doing that. But like, in that case, or like the community radio station, like,
I think they expect you to take it.
I would hope so.
But when you're at a public event and you're getting called up to the stage and they've got a check for $150, I think it's best to go, I'd like to donate it back.
Well, you start to get that chant going. It's yeah. It's kind of scary not to give it back because you're expecting like one drunk guy in the crowd go, I said give it back.
But here's the benefit. You give it back, that drunk guy's like, around on me, or yeah. buys you drinks for the rest of the night and you're set. There's yeah. Your $150 was spent by someone else and now you're hungover.
So you lost and you lost is basically what you're saying. But if anybody listens in Maine, we got a few listeners in Maine, get in on that treasure hunt and just cut me in for a 10% finder's fee.
Sure, yeah.
$2,000. That's what I want out of it. $2,000? That's 10%.
I just want the thrill of solving a riddle. And $2,000.
I'm going to move on to the geek news of the week. And we'll start with Ghostbusters Afterlife. Not a whole lot to report on that lately, but they did drop a little teaser online, showed Paul Rudd in a grocery store, and he gets attacked by a very cute mini Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And then there's a legion of them. And I think whoever is behind Ghostbusters Afterlife, somewhere along the lines, they saw how much money the Baby Yoda was making and the Minions make and all these cute little creatures. And I think they said, hey, we've got the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. We can make him tiny and that would work out really well. And it does. They're adorable. They're terrifying and they're bizarre, but they're absolutely adorable. So my excitement for Ghostbusters Afterlife just went up a couple notches just because of the cute Stay Puft Marshmallow Men. If you haven't seen that trailer, or the little teaser, I should say, check it out, Scotty Mars, The Scotty Mars Show on Facebook and at Scotty Mars on Twitter. Switching over to video games first, just because this is a little bit of a geeky thing, but just also an odd thing. There is a Seinfeld survival horror game coming out. It's also like a parody. They released a little trailer. It's the guy running through the coffee shop, the diner, and ghostly girls in the bathroom asking if you can spare a square. It's very, very bizarre, but it also looks really kind of cool. I'm looking forward to playing this. If there's not a lot of Mr. Marvels in it, I will be sadly, sadly disappointed. But if you're a Seinfeld fan, I think this is going to be a must play. No set release date yet, though, for it. It's going to be called Seinfeld Remastered. But it is on the way. So let's switch over to Marvel news. They released a new trailer for Loki. And I got to say, it looks really good. I love Tom Hiddleston's Loki. In my opinion, it's probably the best part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, in all honesty. The guy just has a lot of fun with the character, and the trailer looked good. The show looks good. The trailer did confirm that Skrulls will be a part of the show, so that may lead into Secret War or something like that. But my only thing with it, and this is just me being a giant comic book nerd, but it kind of looked like Loki going through and fixing time, which is very similar to either what Booster Gold did in DC Comics or DC shows Legends of Tomorrow. So a little similar vibe there. I definitely think it'll be different, but just kind of a similar theme. But looking forward to Loki, as I said, one of my favorite parts of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. In Marvel animated news, Into the Spider-Verse 2 is on the way, and they are very close to signing up Christopher Daniel Barnes. And if you're not sure exactly who Christopher Daniel Barnes is, I guarantee you heard his voice because he was the voice of the 90s animated Spider-Man from the Spider-Man and animated series that ran from 94 to 98. He's lent his voice a few times to some Spider-Mans and video games and whatnot, but apparently he is very close to joining into the Spider-Verse 2. They said he's not going to be a major part of the show, but they are going to have a bit of a 90s cartoon style mashed up with the tone of Into the Spider-Verse when he does appear. So that's kind of cool. Looking forward to that. Into the Spider-Verse was fantastic. Switching over to Star Wars, just a couple of little things. The Bad Batch, the kind of follow-up animated series to the Clone Wars, not too far away. And apparently the first season is going to be at least 14 episodes. So we're not going to get a short season like an 8 episode or anything like that. 14 at least, which is great news. And again, that will hit Disney Plus on May the 4th, very appropriately. And Lucasfilm and Disney have also gotten people a little excited. They filed a trademark the other day for Skywalker Academy. Now, nobody knows exactly what this trademark is for. A lot of people are just thinking it's for an apparel line, maybe even some activewear that's going to be done under the Star Wars moniker. And hey, listen, Star Wars is a license to print money. You know, I sat there and my initial reaction was like, oh, you're not going to make workout clothes Skywalker Academy. Like, who's going to wear that? And then as soon as I thought that, I was like, I'm going to wear that. I would totally rock that at the gym. So if that's what it is, cool. But some fans also obviously are sitting there going, well, maybe this is a TV show, a movie, a comic book, a novel that's going to tell us a bit about Luke and his Jedi Academy. So that's a possibility, but nothing confirmed. We just know that that trademark has been filed. Switching over to DC, you know, The Rock has been cast as Black Adam for better part of 10 years, and finally filming begins on Black Adam next week, according to The Rock, and that is great news. Really looking forward to this movie. They've also cast Tony Award winner James Custy Meyer in an unknown role. We don't know what his role is, but they have cast him, so Black Adam continues to take shape as they're just about ready to start rolling film on it. Speaking of film, Suicide Squad trailer, we've gotten two of them. One was a Red Band trailer and the other was like a general audience one. Different stuff in both trailers, so it's worth watching both. But the Red Band trailer set a new record for most views of an R-rated trailer in a week, with over 150 million views worldwide. So that is impressive and a good start for the Suicide Squad. Really excited for this movie. I think it looks fantastic. New Gods, the movie in development over at Warner Brothers, and the Trench Aquaman spinoff movie that was in development, both of those have been canceled, which I find odd. The Trench one, not so much. I mean, if you've seen Aquaman and or you're familiar with the Trench and the Aquaman comics, I don't know how much you could explore there that, you know, we didn't already kind of see. And I don't know how the Trench works without Aquaman or Mira or any of the big characters, because they're more of a villainous group, or at least, you know, not friendly. So that movie, I was always kind of like, how the fuck are you going to make this work? New Gods, on the other hand, I was very excited for. Had some great, great people that were involved with it. You know, really solid writer, Tom King, who's been doing some great, great work on some Batman comics and whatnot recently. And then also, you know, you had a fantastic director in Ava DuVernay, who has done some fantastic movies, and she was going to be behind the lens on it. And they canceled that. It's very disappointing. I mean, there's some great characters there. Some of them we have seen recently in Zack Snyder's Justice League. You know, Steppenwolf's part of the New Gods, obviously Darkseid, Desaad, Granny Goodness, Mr. Miracle was going to be part of that movie. You know, it's a rich tapestry that Jack Kirby created when he did the New Gods, and it's rife for film. I mean, it would make an entire series of films that would be fantastic to see. So I find it odd that they canceled this, especially now that a lot of people have been introduced to these characters before, you know, general mainstream public, not very familiar with the New Gods. Now, thanks to Zack Snyder's Justice League, at least some of these people, some of the, you know, general audience has been roughly introduced to some of these characters. So I found it odd that they canceled it unless, and maybe this is just me being a little bit hopeful or reading tea leaves that aren't there to be read, but the only way it makes sense to me that you cancel that movie is if you are planning on continuing, maybe not necessarily Zack Snyder's vision of the New Gods, but spinning off of his with somebody else behind, you know, behind the director's chair or the writing room or anything like that. But maybe you're thinking, you know what? I like the Desaad that we had. Love Ray Porter's Dark Side. We got a little visual of Granny Goodness, but, you know, nothing confirmed. Maybe we can just take them and spin them off as opposed to a whole new set of people doing it. So I'm kind of thinking that means there's more hope for kind of a continuation of the Snyderverse than maybe even some people are thinking. So that could be a good news there. And then with all the kind of cancellations of a couple of big movies, Warner Brothers did confirm that the Supergirl movie is still in development. And that is good news considering they cast Sasha Calle as Supergirl in the upcoming Flash film. And one would assume that it would be her continuing the mantle in the live action Supergirl movie. And of course, we haven't seen Supergirl movie since 1984. When they made that Supergirl flick. So good news there. We're still going to get Kara Zor-El on the big screen at some point. And that will do it for this week's edition of the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, continue to tell your friends and find me on social media, The Scotty Mars Show on Facebook and Instagram, at Scotty Mars on Twitter. And if you need to reach out to me, send me an email or anything like that, just head on over to ScottyMarsMedia.com. And until we chat again, have a great week.